Welcome to the Josh Bolton Show, where we dive into interesting and inspiring conversations. And now, your host, Josh Bolton.
Hi, today we have Aaron McCullough. We're going to go into happiness and joy, what is anxiety, into low-level emotional experiences, and so much more. I'm just going to let her introduce herself. Here she is.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I work with people on creating what I call impenetrable joy. And what that is the ability to not be at the mercy of people or circumstances to dictate whether you're having a good day or a bad day, or for that matter, a good day or a bad life. Learning how to create joy is an internal journey that includes things, not just exuberance, like jumping up and down in joy, but also calm, peace of mind, and stillness. And so that's what I teach people how to do.
That's absolutely awesome. Then can you go into a little bit of the teaching of the calmness and finding your happiness and joy?
Yeah, well, first let me just tell you what the difference between happiness and joy is.
Okay.
Happiness is based on external things, events. You get the car, you're happy, but it's short-lived. Eventually, that car is just a car, right? Mm-hmm. After a week, a month, a year, whatever, it just becomes a to B vehicle. And joy is an internal journey. It's an internal experience of seeing this life slower, with calmness, with stillness, being able to shut your mind down so that it's not racing, doing all the things or going down the list of to-dos. And what happens is when we create that internal experience, we go away from those low-level experiences, which are anything that doesn't feel good, stress, worry, overwhelm, anxiety. Those are common words that a lot of people are dealing with on a daily basis. And when we can take that journey inside and stop thinking that we can create an external environment that will create joy, that'll just create happiness. And that's really not a winning game. You can't win at, you know, you're never going to collect enough cash. The car is always going to, it's going to be a car. You get the next car, then it's going to be a car, right? Mm-hmm. The house will never be big enough. And you'll never feel fulfilled. And I learned that the hard way by, you know, chasing after all those things for so many years and getting them and recognizing there was no actual lasting good feelings after I've achieved all those things.
Yeah, that is the biggest one I've been learning. I know I'm still young. I'm 28. But when I was working a security company job, I was getting good money because they were running me a lot of overtime kind of thing. And so I would always buy the new thing, the new this. And I was happy for about 3-4 days. But then literally it just is like, okay, that's over. What's the next hit I can get kind of thing?
Yeah. And you can do that. I mean, I was doing it in every aspect of my life, right? I was training for a half Ironman. I was, you know, so all the things, right? You can start with one thing, go, oh, I think I'll, you know, go to CrossFit. And then that's not enough. Now I've got to train for triathlons. Now that's not enough. Now I've got to do a half Ironman. Then that's not enough. Then I have to do an Ironman, right? And every time I would cross the finish line, I would be happy for a moment. And then I would race home and go, how am I going to challenge myself next so that I can find that place that feels good? And I'm here to say that you can feel good right now, right here, wherever you're at. You can get all those things too. Those are wonderful as well. I don't have any issue with abundance. Just recognize that it's not going to bring you that, you know, what everybody says, what do you want in your life? People will say, I want to be happy. Actually, you want joy.
Do you think it's just been a mislabeling in society? Because I know a lot of people I've talked to, even on the more Eastern side of the world, they more talk of joy and fulfillment than happiness.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're not thinking when we're on our deathbed, you know, the end of our life, or if we get taken out of this life quickly, I wish I had amassed more things or cash, right? We're thinking, I wish I'd made, you know, deeper, more meaningful relationships with people, especially the ones that I love. I had created more memories. Like, that's what we really, really, really want. And that is what we derive purpose and meaning from, things like that, like deeper connection with people, also recognizing a deeper connection with ourselves, recognizing, you know, everybody has a unique gift to give this world that only you can give based on your experiences. And so I truly believe that we're here for the purpose of spiritual growth or self-development, however you want to say that. Mm-hmm. And that includes, you know, and in the center of that is your relationship with you. And when you get right with you, then that is like that ripple in the water. It just goes out exponentially.
That's such a impressive the way you pointed out purpose, because that is another one we're just told, just amass as much wealth, try to get the highest paying job, even if you hate it, and your life will be fulfilled. And that's the biggest lie I've been hearing now from a lot of people who are very successful doing what they love. They're like, that is the worst lie we could have ever told our kids, kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I spent 30 years chasing that and totally miserable, but you know, I think it's shifting a little. I think, you know, we're starting to get the message out that, you know, there are more meaningful things in this life, obviously, than stacking up cash. You know, one of the things that I know about humans is that they love to be in service of others. Like, we love to help other people. And so if you can find that way that you love to help other people, then the cash will come. But the other thing that I'm really interested in lately is this idea of sufficiency. Like, we have enough right now. Like, what, we don't need to keep yearning for all these other things. You know, I'm not against, you know, getting, you know, vehicles that get you, you know, safely around this, wherever you need to move to.
Right.
And I've got my eye on a couple of vehicles that I am interested in, but they are more about the environment than they are about, you know, this idea of, oh, I will have arrived or be successful when I have this thing, right? Because right. I recognize that my life is in service of others all the time. And that is one of the most fulfilling, purpose-filled life to live, is one in service of others. So the goal really is to find that thing that is uniquely you, in which you can be of service to others.
So how would you tell someone that's listening? Maybe they're just roaming through and they're like, okay, so she's talking about purpose. How would I find my purpose? I don't even know what I'm supposed to do as my purpose.
Well, first and foremost, I would say, as I mentioned before, that I truly believe we are here for spiritual growth or self-development. Mm-hmm. The, you know, soulmate that you're looking for is yourself. And when you go inside and you begin that journey in a meaningful way and you heal and grow what you're meant to heal and grow in this lifetime, then those things unfold for you. It really is in the process of getting to understand who you are on a deep level. And let me just tell you, you are not, in case your listeners don't know, you are not your thoughts and you are not your emotions. And the reason that I know that is because you can think a thought and then name what that thought is. You can have an emotion and name what the emotion is that you're having. So who is that that's naming those things? That's actually who you are. Most people's experience is in reaction to everybody and everything. Like, you know, that person did this, so it made me feel this way. And the reality is we felt that way. It almost has nothing to do with them other than they pointed it out to us that there was an area for healing and growth there. that's how you know. When you go into reaction over anybody, you start telling that story to your friends, your significant other, you know, at work today, this person said this, and then that happened, and all the things. Mm-hmm. Like, those stories are your underlying beliefs being poked, and they're giving you an opportunity to take a look at yourself and go, oh, there's healing and growth that could take place there. So anytime you're pointing the finger at somebody else and saying that person is rude, you know, fill in the blank, whatever, the only way for you to even recognize that that exists in another is because it exists in you. So that's another op. So it's always back to you, right? I call it return to sender. It's always back to you. You're in reaction. So it is you. In the least, you're co-creating the experience, but mostly it's you, right? Because I'm sure you've been in situations where, you know, you meet somebody or you go to a party or something, and the person you're with is like, oh, I don't like that person. They're, you know, mean or whatever. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't think that at all. I had this nice conversation with them, mm-hmm. right? It's because we don't recognize that that person's beliefs are being poked, and that doesn't exist in me. And that's why, you know, when people are upset, you know, your friends are telling you a story about their upset, you're like, yeah, that wouldn't upset me, because it's not part of your thing, but it's part of theirs. And so that's how you know where healing and growth takes place, is from there.
So would you say in the process of the spirituality and healing and growth, would meditation, but also a form of religious practice, whatever the person chooses?
For me, I mean, I see spirituality and religion as very different sort of receptacles.
Yeah.
And I have no issue with, I think the intention behind both of them is wonderful.
Okay.
Right. Be kind to others, you know. Sometimes I feel like organized religion doesn't allow people to have their own mind to think about what really sits right with them. But for some, I think it's really a guiding post, you know, for them to, like, a foundational piece so that they can continue down the path, their path. In terms of spirituality, I mean, that's open to all kinds of things. I do believe it's very important to have a practice. I mean, if you want to go through this life in calm, peace of mind, and find meaning in your life, I think if you start your day with things like meditation, visualization, yoga, walking, being mindful, you know, practicing being in the present moment, I think those are excellent ways, or listening to or reading things that speak to you on a deeper level. Those are excellent ways to start a day, right? That way we're starting in a really good space and can go from there. Often what happens though is people will wake up and go, oh, what happened yesterday? Oh yeah, all these things happened that weren't so wonderful yesterday. Let me start there, right? And so that's less of a great place to start. When you have a practice, then you can go to your practice, and if it brings you to a place of peace, then that's a pretty good place to start your day.
That is. It is very good. And one thing I've learned just with time and different books I've read is that thoughts are more powerful and more real than we actually give them credit to. They have a type of energy, like law of attraction, where if you focus on enough, it'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy. It will happen.
100%. I teach from two tenets. The first is the dominant thoughts that you think is what create your reality, which is law of attraction, right? Mm-hmm. That saying that what you think and think and think and think, you create. It's been very useful for us. We've created all kinds of things, right? We've created, you know, schools, you know, schooling, diplomas, education on some level, relationships, right? I really want to be in a relationship with somebody. I, you know, cars, houses, all the things. But it also creates some other things that are very habitual. When your mind constantly goes to things like anxiety and overwhelm and things like that, then you create that as well. And so the way to navigate that is to recognize when you're not feeling good and then concentrate on what you'd like to see versus what you don't want to see, which is what most people do. I don't want this. I don't want that. Instead, you want to shift to, I would like this. I would like to be at ease. I would like to, you know, I'm feeling anxiety right now. I would like to feel at ease versus I don't want to feel anxiety. And that's a significant difference because the energy is in the wrong place. The second tenet that I teach from is taking personal responsibility for what it is that you've created. If that is true, that I am creating my thoughts and those dominant thoughts are creating my reality, then it's not a stretch to say that you're responsible for those thoughts. Now, I told you already that you are not your thoughts. So because you're not your thoughts and you can think those thoughts, you can actually change your thoughts. But you have to be intentional about it. Otherwise, they will just, your mind will just go rampant with all the, you know, busyness and the habits that it likes to think about.
Indeed. Yeah. That is the biggest one is the, especially with nowadays with cell phones and all that, is there's so much distractions that then your mind gets anxious and it's like, well, the fear of missing out, like FOMO, you're going to be like, well, I don't know if I'm going to miss something. So I have to keep watching, but then your mind gets even more stressed kind of thing.
Definitely. There are a lot of distractions these days for sure. And you know, we've gotten into some addictions, you know, media is an addiction. Obvious. Mm-hmm. There's the obvious ones, you know, drugs and alcohol, but there's other ones like, addicted to being busy. Like that's some sort of badge of honor. My schedule is so full. I can't see you for 2 weeks. It's like, why?
Right.
You know, I have clients that tell me that they're like, I'm super busy. I'm like, why? And they're like, well, because I have all these things to do. And I'm like, why? Why are you that busy? Do all of those things bring you joy? If they don't, then you need to get rid of some.
Right. Yeah, that is the biggest one I've noticed in general with people, because like where I train for martial arts that we were talking about earlier, there's a lot of entrepreneurs, but they're all like, other than right now, like I'm busy. I'm like, I even tell them why, like did half of those don't even like bring you income. You're just doing it out of a favor. It doesn't help you kind of thing.
Yeah. And the other addiction is this goal setting addiction. I'm not against like having things to strive for. I think we should all strive for things. But having goals to have goals doesn't make sense. Having goals to better yourself as a human, to be of more service to people, 100%. Mm-hmm. Having goals to, you know, just be a high achiever. I think you're going to find that through that, that is that happiness piece. That's that external piece.
Right.
You know, I think the biggest issue that we have is that we're in resistance to what is. When we can just let go, you know, move energy in a direction. If you want to do whatever, you want to be an entrepreneur, wonderful, move energy in that direction. But it's the needing or wanting things to show up how we think they should quickly. And, you know, and this whole idea of like making 6 and 7 figures and all of that stuff, I'm not against it. I just don't think that that's an actual goal. I mean, if you focused your energy and your entrepreneurial pursuits on how you could be of service to people, that would be a much more gratifying success than this, you know, striving for the 6, 7, 8 figures, whatever the thing is.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the biggest one is that what I've learned with talking to all the entrepreneurs and just business people in general. It's like they said, it's not about the money. They're like, if a few of the big C-suites, they're like, it's nice that we're getting paid a lot of money, but it's like, it's just a lucky coincidence. This is how our brain ticks. So even though it's stressful, this is like our zone kind of thing. They said, if we didn't have this, like we'd probably be in some strategic, like whatever, getting minimum wage, like, and we'd be very happy and joyful about it.
Yeah. I mean, purpose and meaning are not derived from things. They're derived from an internal experience of feeling good about, you know, being human, basically.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's, it's really is like, the perspective and just understanding not everything you can control kind of thing, which plays into the anxiety of everyone believes they can control everything. And it's like, we can't. Like, so how would you explain to someone to help them cope with anxiety? Maybe it's social awkwardness or work kind of thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's perfect. What you said is absolutely correct. My definition of anxiety and any low level experience, which is anything that doesn't feel good, stress, overwhelm, depression, is this wanting or needing to control everything and everybody in order for you to feel good. That's, I need you to behave this way so that I feel good. Mm-hmm. I need this situation to look this way so I feel good, right? And then on top of that, the other piece is there's an unconscious recognition that you cannot control all those things. And so that juxtaposition of those two things is that there's such a big gap between the two, right? So it's like, I can't control all the things. I want to control all the things, and I know, you know, I cannot. And so that dissonance is what creates anxiety, stress, overwhelm. And once we can, as we were just saying, you know, let life unfold how it unfolds, so that we're not beholden to how it should look or how I should feel based on these events or people, then the experience is so much better. People don't come to me to figure out how to make six and seven figures, because that's not what I teach. What I teach is, how do you create the experience that you want in this life now, which I think is much more meaningful than the other. It's like, you can do that too, but why not enjoy yourself now in this life and have purpose and meaning now and have peace and calm and be able to quiet your mind now?
Absolutely. That is, I think that is the biggest question, but no one wants the answer kind of thing. We all want to know what it is, but we don't want to ask it.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of denial, you know, like, oh, my life is pretty good, you know, or this idea, this positive making thing that happens in our society. It's like, you can't talk about the bad things because we got to slap a positive spin on it. Like, you know, I'm so blessed, I can't complain. And the thing is, actually, I would encourage you to complain if that's how you feel. Because it's hard to heal and grow when we don't acknowledge where we're at. You know, if we're constantly slapping at, like, oh, but I can't complain on it, it's like, you're already complaining. So you might as well just check into the fact that you're complaining about something that's not going well and learn some strategies to healing and growing so that you can do that versus, you know, being the complainer all the time or being the negative person all the time.
Yeah, that is the biggest one. And another one I've noticed in general, and it's great that society is more open-minded to it, is admitting maybe you don't know your answers yet, so you should get maybe a therapist kind of thing. Just talk, and then they can just give their two cents, professional two cents, and be like, hey, you know, you keep talking about this one topic a lot. You somehow spin it back to this. This might be a problem. Let's go into it. And that would be, like I said, with society, how they're changing and not the stigma is like, oh, you're going to therapy, ooh, kind of thing. It might actually be very helpful for all of us.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been seen as a weakness, but here's the thing is, like, I always say, you're like inside of a jar and you're trying to read the ingredients on the outside. You can't do that from inside the jar. We're just too close to ourselves to see, like, what's really going on. I mean, I know, I'm sure you've had conversations with friends where they're call and they're like, oh my gosh, this and that and whatever. And it's so easy for you to see. You're like, yeah, ditch the girl, lose the job, go back to school. You know what? You're just like, oh, duh. It's so easy. Right. But we can't see ourselves that way because we're just too close to ourselves, but others see us exactly how we are. So when we can reach out, I mean, I'm not saying reach out to everybody, because of course everybody has an opinion, but reach out to people that, you know, are positive and, you know, that know you well enough to be able to help you go in a direction so that you can see what your blind spots are, because we just can't see them ourselves.
Yeah. The biggest thing I've noticed in general, as us humans in general, is we're very tribal, but in a good way. Like our original ancestors, it was a group of like 15, maybe 20 people, but they all worked with each other. It's like, so if someone was down, two would come over and be like, hey, like, what's up? How can we help you? Kind of thing. Hence your service mindset for everything. They get him up and running. They go help whoever on the other side might have messed up their tent, kind of thing. I think it's more, we've kind of just isolated ourselves, especially with, like we mentioned, technology, social media. It's almost segregating the segregated. And even though there's what, like 7-8 billion people on this earth, it feels like there's only like maybe 100 around this kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I'm really starting to, I really agree with you. I mean, I'm really, you know, we are, we're meant to be in community with each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously this last year has been challenging for a lot of folks, in terms of, you know, being, isolated and, but there are other ways to reach out. I mean, I teach classes. I used to teach them in person. I haven't gone back to that yet, but I was teaching online prior to that as well. And it's, you know, it's not the same, but it still has some beauty in it. You know, like we're connecting over, the internet now, and, right. It doesn't feel any less authentic, to be able to have these conversations. So I think that, you know, again, it goes back to that, you know, we don't want to seem needy, or it's not seen as strength when we're vulnerable or we need help. You know, the idea would be to reach out to others when you need help, because we all have our different strengths, as you were saying, and we're just so much stronger together than we are as a single. And same with relationships. I just started doing classes on, you know, creating spiritual partnerships romantically. And they're just really powerful when two people understand how to heal and grow themselves as individuals, and then they come together, they can exponentially make huge strides in their growth and healing and those that they touch. And, you know, the idea is that we learn these things and then we teach them to others so that people can feel good about themselves all the time, because that's really, I believe, our birthright. We're meant to feel good all the time. We're mm-hmm. not meant to be stressed out and upset and all these things. But being vulnerable is a strength. Being able to reach out to people is a strength, to say, hey, I need a, you know, and I think it's challenging a lot for entrepreneurs and people in leadership positions, because we've sort of set them up to like have all the answers. And the reality is, when I've been in leadership positions, you know, where I had staff, I would just be so transparent, because I knew that I'm human and I'm going to screw stuff up. And my staff always knew I screwed stuff up, and we would laugh about it, you know? And it's endearing, actually, because then it gives other people the opportunity to, be able to reach out for help and to know that, you know, they don't have to be perfect and do all the things right all the time. It's really important.
That really is. You mentioned earlier about deeper relationship on a spiritual level. How would someone go into that? Maybe they have a great girlfriend. They feel like it could become more, but maybe they're like that deeper level you were talking about. How would they, basic step about giving the keys to the kingdom away, kind of thing?
Nice. Yeah. I would say the most important thing that you could do to create a deeper, meaningful relationship with anybody in your life, is to begin to tell the truth. We often will hold things back because we have a fear that if I tell the truth, then, you know, any number of things can happen, right? We like to make up stories about what's going on for other people. But what I recognize is it's really hard to tell the truth about, you know, something happens and, oh gosh, that hurt my feelings. And it's not you hurt my feelings. It's my feelings are hurt. Mm-hmm. And I just want to let you know, I'm going to sit in it and learn how to heal and grow from that. I'm just letting you know that that's what's going on for me. And, you know, I know some people are like, oh, I don't want to seem needy or, you know, high maintenance or, you know, like I don't have my act together or whatever, or sensitive or, you know, whatever the things are that we're so afraid. But if you can learn to, like, when you are apt to not share yourself fully with whatever, the more we like tamp down these feelings and these situations and don't tell the truth about them, the further away people get from us. The more we can tell them what's going on for us, not in a, you did this, I'm feeling this way, and this is maybe why, then they can help support you in your healing and growth. And you can do the same for others, you know, being purposeful in going, oh, they're in reaction to something, rather than me engage and get in reaction as well, go, oh, something is coming up for them. They're having a reaction that is theirs to own. They get to have that. But it's that communication. It's like, oh, that hurt my, or my heal, my feelings are hurt because of that situation. This has right. nothing to do with you. It has to do with me, but I need to share that with you, because just in that sharing creates a bond.
It does. And that is the one thing I always joke with my coworkers when I am working, is everyone, they all break bread together kind of thing. And they all, but I'm the weird one in the corner. It was mainly mostly because of Corona. I didn't want to be around them, but, they all said, like, why do we have a great bond, but we don't with Josh? I'm like, so the easiest way to build a relationship with someone, break bread with them, eat a meal. You don't have to say a single word, just that simple action. There's a very good relationship that's been built now, kind of thing.
Nice.
And they all just sit there and they're like, oh yeah. They're like, so are you ever going to join us? I'm like, no, no, you're all sick and you party and stuff. I'm good.
Hopefully that'll change at some point.
No, they don't care. But yeah, but it was just one of those. They're like, wow, why do you seem to always know this? I'm like, it's like common sense. It's like we were saying, we're built to be together, not apart. You all work together. So you all have, whether you like it or not, build a relationship with each other. And I just sit there and they're like, well, okay.
Yeah. I mean, and the other piece too is, you know, we like to assume things about other people. If we could take the assumption out and just hear people, like take the time to not come up with what you're going to say next or all those things. If you just sat back and listen to what is actually, what are the words that that person is saying? What's obviously important to them? You will get to know people on a deeper level. You'll start to hear them not through your filter, but through theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the old adage, you have two ears, one mouth, listen more than you talk.
Yeah.
That's as simple as it is. It's a very complex idea because we've always been taught talk, don't listen, just overwhelm everyone, keep going kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, nobody sat us down and said that, but that's kind of how we behave.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If someone did, that would be a terrible childhood.
Oh, well, I can think of worse things, but yes.
Yeah. So what else, you were mentioning earlier, you were training, do you still train for like big events?
No, I don't do that anymore. It's funny because your body will tell you things and you don't listen. And then it'll tell you things louder. Like what ended up happening was I was training for a half Ironman and I got a concussion.
Ooh.
And it was from, I used to live in Hawaii and I would train in the ocean. And I there's kind of a swimming lane off of the pier in the town that I was in. And there was, I guess maybe a tourist or something was snorkeling around there. But it's where Ironman takes place. So that swimming lane is on purpose because people right. use it to train a lot. And this gentleman was in there and we literally like hit head on. And he was older and I was concerned and I was like, are you okay? He said, I'm fine. I said, okay. I finished, I went, did my swim and came back and I got out and I was supposed to hop on my bike and I didn't feel quite right. So I called my mom, who's a nurse, and I told her, and she was like, yeah, don't get on your bike. And then I ended up with a concussion, and that, you know, that probably should have slowed me down, but it didn't. I mean, it did for a few weeks, right? And then I was like, okay, I'm ready to train again. So I went back to training and my trainer had me doing this inversion exercise and all of my symptoms from the concussion came back. And so I was, again, healing from the concussion. And I was like, I don't know, this voice in my head just went, why are you killing yourself? Why are you trying to kill yourself? Why are you trying to hurt your body? You know, and I was like, oh, why am I doing this? Right. It was those moments where you're just like, what? Cause I would show up to meet, you know, work out with my trainer and there, that voice inside would just be like, I'm so exhausted. I just don't know if I have it in me to do this thing today. And I would just do it anyway. And now I recognize that, you know, I really need to listen to my body, because I truly believe that we are three equal parts, mind, body, and spirit. And often, you know, things like disease, cancer, and things like that are the last ditch wake up call. They're, you know, we can overpower our spirit and ignore, right? And put off and, you know, tamp down feelings emotionally, mentally, right? All those with all the things we talked about, drugs and alcohol and all the distractions. But when the body starts to hurt or not function properly, then we sort of wake up and go, oh, something's not right. And that's kind of your entity's like last ditch effort to get your attention. Something is out of balance here. And most often, well, I truly believe that, you know, disease is from this tamping down of these emotions that we're not allowed to feel. And they live on a cellular level in our body. And then they replicate. It's an
interesting concept about tamping down the emotions, because that's one thing, kind of like you have observed it, but there's no science behind it, is to suppress something. Yes, you may have suppressed your feelings, but you might have also something indirectly, whether it's spirit or your subconscious, whatever you want to call it, has also said, well, I can't address this, so I'm not going to address this kind of thing.
Not quite following.
So, okay. Cause you said three equal parts, mind, body, spirit, mm-hmm. and your mind says, oh, I can't feel these emotions. So I'm going to just put it in a jar, put it on the counter, forget about it. And then we'll do in the same action, whether, like I said, your mind or your spirit, whatever you want to call it, says, well, if they're going to do that, I'm going to do this kind of thing. I'm going to take whatever piece of health and put it away kind of thing. Cause they don't want to face their problem here. It's just an observation. It's just,
yeah, I think it's so there is science behind being able to, have emotions like stuck in your body. Basically that's, you know, acupuncture is something that's been used well before Western medicine for many, many, many years. And that's based on meridians. It's the same thing. We hold in, energy, which is emotions, right? Is energy. They're typically not good feeling energy. Usually. So you can imagine if you are holding in, because happiness is like, hey, I was happy, you know, right? Depression is not that, right? Depression is like, hold that all in, right? Hold the, yeah, that doesn't feel good. Let me hold that in my body. And we do, we literally hold it on a cellular level in our body. And when we create an environment that doesn't feel good by stacking up all those emotions and not releasing them, then the body begins to break down. So the immune system breaks down. Cancer cells themselves exist in our body all the time. They're literally just abnormal cells. And normally our body would just slough them off, no problem. But when you create an environment for them to thrive in, then the abnormal becomes the normal. And so then it switches out, right? So then it starts loading up on the abnormal cells and getting rid of the normal cells because it doesn't make sense to the body. And so right. That is legitimately what's going on. We don't talk about those things, but we already know that stress leads to heart attacks. It's not any different, you know, and stress is not typically something that we're going like, hey, I'm stressing out and, you know, letting everybody know. That way we're not acknowledging it. So that's why that acknowledgement piece is so important. I'm stressed. I need a strategy so that I can heal and grow from the stress so that I can release it. The thing is from a young age, we don't allow kids to express their emotions. They fall down and get hurt. We say, it's okay. Like, get over it quickly, right? Don't cry. It's okay. And then we learn that as we keep going, we're not allowed to express our emotions, good or bad. Good is way better, obviously, but bad for sure. Nobody wants to be around that, right? And so we begin that tamping down of emotions at a very young age because we're not allowed to, and because it makes other people feel uncomfortable. I tell people all the time, I want you to have every emotion you're going to have, and I want you to have it until it's done. I don't want you to wallow in it. You won't. I mean, think about the times where you've been really upset, you cried, and then you were over it. You didn't cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. You just were like, I'm upset. I'm going to cry. I'm going to sit in this emotion for a minute and see what it's about and then let it go. And what happens afterwards? You feel better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But does it feel better when you're crying and somebody's going, it's okay, don't cry? You know, no, that doesn't feel better. That doesn't make anything better. That makes it worse. So my thing is feel your emotions, acknowledge that you're feeling them, get to know them, get so acquainted with them that when they show up, they don't surprise you anymore. Often that's what happens is we all of a sudden, it's like, I don't know why I'm upset right now. Well, you're upset because you have a latent thing that you've not dealt with that you need to grow and heal from. Because you never acknowledge it. Acknowledge it and keep acknowledging it and sit in it and see what it's about and see it coming from a mile away. And then guess what happens? It goes away.
It does. But like I was mentioning earlier with the school system, they essentially teach us a certain mindset. And the biggest one is don't feel your emotions because the teacher can't teach kind of thing. They just want mindless machines. The reason I say it that way is... when I was in elementary school, pre-politically correct, it was like 1990s, but I had ADHD. They didn't know what that was back then. And I was sitting there and I would just whipsaw my emotions, but it wasn't, I was bipolar. It was just one moment happy, suddenly I'm really sad that it's gone and I'm happy again. So they essentially gave indirectly an ultimatum to my parents. They're like, either you drug them or you get rid of them. We won't have them at our school. So I think it's more deeper because of that experience I went through. I think more we are told to keep quiet. Even if you are suffering, don't say anything because there could be a worse outcome for you.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, I used to be a teacher. You probably don't know that. I used to teach special ed, in fact.
Oh, wow.
And what I realized through that teaching experience was I had taught, you know, the normal kids, and that's quote unquote. And I didn't particularly care for that.
Right.
I liked being with the kids that were challenged, right? And it was because they had a lot of heart. You know, it was like you knew exactly what was going on with them every moment that it was happening, you know. And there were times where I had students come to me and, you know, they'd be acting out in class and I'd say, can you go stand outside for just a moment? You're distracting the rest of the class. And then I'd go out and talk to them and just go, gosh, I'm just so sorry. I don't know how to control myself, you know? And it's like, that's okay. we have those moments, right? I mean, we all do. It's like, I don't know what's going on with me today. I'm just really tired, or I'm just feel a little bit blue, or I'm super excited, or whatever the thing is, but we don't allow people to acknowledge those things. And so, you know, on those occasions, I would just say, would it be better for you if you sat out here outside of the classroom and did your work there? Would that be helpful for you? You know, and that gives people an opportunity to be okay with wherever they're at versus mm-hmm. trying to make them be a certain way.
Absolutely.
And that's important. I mean, that would have been a very different experience for you, I'm sure, if, you know, the teacher had allowed that for you to be who you are. It's challenging.
It really is. And back then there was no internet. Well, there was, but it wasn't where it is now. So it's not like my parents could look up like, oh, what are these symptoms kind of thing. It's like, oh, because back in the 90s, they had Ritalin kind of thing. And like 2 days in, I was sitting there going, Mom, there's spiders under my skin. And I'm actually like trying to pull off my skin kind of thing. So eventually they're just like, okay, cut it kind of thing. We're not going to keep giving on this stuff. But it's one of those, yeah, you're right. It probably could have been extremely different. I probably would have, with that terrible suppressing and bullying and like, you're the weird kooky one. But now that I'm older, more versed, I'm like, oh, it was just, most of it was just the drugs talking through me. I didn't even know what half the shit I was doing kind of thing. I probably would have been much more confident, less socially awkward, because other than this right now, in general, I don't talk to people. I don't, like I was mentioning earlier, at work, I don't talk to people. It's the biggest insecurity of mine is social rejection.
What is it you think that's going to happen when you reach out to others?
Well, like I said, being older, I understand the cause, but the roots are too deep to try to cut it out kind of thing. Every time when I was younger, because of the kookiness and the drugs, I might start like, oh, hi, like, I like your three paintings. Well, why is that one gold? And why isn't it not neon green with a frog spitting out a unicorn kind of thing? And people are like, you're fucking weird. Like, why?
That's awesome. What I would encourage you to do is when you get into, I would encourage everybody to do this. When you feel under the gun, anxious, stressed, whatever, the thing that you don't want to do is the thing that you need to do. Right. So the thing that you don't want to do is reach out to others and get into community with them. What I would encourage you to do is to take that very first step, to do it once, and it gets easier and easier and easier and easier every single time. But just like you can't lift one weight and be buff at the gym, it's a practice, right? That's the hardest part of self-development, is to practice the new way of being when you've been this other way for so long. And like you said, the roots are deep, but I'll tell you, those roots are not that deep. If you take the step to do the thing that scares the shit out of you, do it. Each time your feet go over the edge to that place that you don't want to go, it gets easier and easier. And that'll be in every aspect of your life, right? It's not just you have this one thing we're talking about, but there's other things. We all have things. And you know what I found? Because I was the one that would just, you know, I'm super easygoing. I would just let, you know, whatever in relationships, oh, that's not that big of a deal, even though that kind of hurt my feelings, or I thought that was rude, or, you know, disrespectful or whatever. What I started to realize is when I actually told my truth, when I actually put myself out there, do you know what their response was?
No. What was it?
They felt closer to me.
Interesting.
They felt like, they didn't take it on themselves because I didn't like come at them. You know, like usually a fight or something will escalate because one person will be in reaction and the other person gets in reaction to their reaction and it just keeps escalating. When you allow yourself to just say, hey, like, I don't feel good right now and here's why, what happens is the other person shows up for you differently versus when you get into that reaction. It's like, so if that means stepping back for a minute and going, okay, what they just did hurt my feelings. So that takes some emotional awareness, right? Mm-hmm. What just happened made me feel bad. Instead of saying that person made me feel bad or that circumstance made me feel bad, I'm going to go inside and just go, that made me feel bad. I don't need to know why, but what I do need to do is express myself to that person, not in a blaming or just in a neutral way. Like, that situation just made me feel bad. I own that. That's all me, just letting you know, but in a very neutral way. If you're saying it's not about you, then obviously it is still about them for you. But if you're saying, you know, that thing just happened and I don't feel good right now, I'm just letting you know how people show up for that? They show up and go, thank you for letting me know. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to hurt each other. That's not what it's about. We don't want to do that. But yeah, when we're in reaction to things, we're not being ourselves. We're being in reaction to past things that hurts and things that happened to us. And we're acting out of that. But when we can step back and go, gosh, that did not feel good. And I just want to let you know, even though it scares the shit out of me to tell you that, because you might walk away, run away, think I'm crazy or, you know, needy or whatever the thing is. When we do that, we let them in. We allow ourselves to heal and grow, and they can be in support versus you being at each other.
Or just the added bonus that maybe they thought everything was hunky-dory, but the fact that you just expressed, like, I'm not okay, and here's X, Y, and Z, they won't reject you, but it'd just be more like, huh, I thought you had your shit together. It's like, okay, well, how do we help kind of thing?
Yeah. Again, we want to help each other. We want to feel good. We want to support one another. It's just that we have these past experiences that are clouding that. When we can navigate that piece and understand that, you know, this past hurt is firing off right now because mm-hmm. of, you know, it's, you're reminding me, basically you've scratched the surface of this reminder of a thing that happened in the past. And now I'm in reaction as though I'm in that past situation. And without knowing it, I'm triggering your past situation, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, nothing is by accident. The relationships that you have in your life, those are all on purpose. The people that are in your life are on purpose. They are for this purpose of healing and growing. It's just that we don't talk about this process. It's just that we think life is this challenge, like everything's challenging. I've got to be in challenge with this person. I've got to be in challenge with work. I got to be in challenge with this circumstance and this driver, right? Whatever. Like, mm-hmm. we feel like it's a challenge. It's not challenge. Those challenges are the gifts. They're like, oh, there's where the healing and growth is. Oh, there it is again. Oh, I'm impatient. There it is again. It's not mm-hmm. about that person. They didn't put on their signal or they stopped short in front of me. It's me. Where am I impatient? Why am I showing up this way? And when we realize that it's not the other person that's doing these things, they're just the gift showing us where to heal. That's right. It. It's not any more important or that story that we love to cling on to of all the things that happen that aren't good in our past. That story is its only reason for existing is for our healing and growth.
Yes.
It is showing us where to heal and grow. That's it. It's not that person or it's not that circumstance. It's not all the attachments that we have to it. It's, oh, there's where the healing and growth is this time around. That's it. It's not more important than that.
That was wonderful and powerful. I'd like to leave it there. Anything you want to mention on your way out, your website or your social medias where people can contact you for more information?
Yeah, I just want to say one last thing.
Absolutely.
And that is, if the predominant experience that you are having in your life is not joy, that is your birthright. Seek and seek and seek until you find. If I'm not the one that can help you with that, there are plenty other people out there that are healing humans that are doing this kind of work. Please seek. Not meant to be in challenge all the time. You are actually meant to be in joy. If you want to learn more about me, I post a ton of videos with content, strategies, things to think about on Instagram. My handle is Erin, E-R-I-N, Mac, M-A-C, LLC. And you can find me on there. You can DM me there. You can get my website on there as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Erin, for coming on. I appreciate you. I'd definitely love to talk to you in the future about things going on in your life.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much for having me. It's super important to have these conversations.
They are.
There's not enough of them, you know, and we're meant to be healing and growing and feeling good. And we talk about a lot of other things, but I think this should be the predominant conversation.
It is.
How do we enjoy ourselves?
Absolutely. Thank you again. Stay safe and stay well.
Well, congratulations. You made it to the end. You're an awesome person. Not many make it here. So, being the awesome person that you are, can you do me one more awesome favor? Can you rate and review this on whatever podcast services you're using? App, if you do it on Apple and you leave an actual written review, I have a thing on my website. I will take your written review and post it for all to see. Congratulations. You're permanently sealed on my site. Otherwise, I am trying to do YouTube more and live streaming. I will try to put as many of the YouTube links in the description of the show as I can. So give your boy some extra help over on YouTube. Watch my videos. I just mute it and change the channel, change the window or something. But yeah, that's it. Thank you for being awesome and see you next time.